Today we're going to find ourselves over in 2 Thessalonians, if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to that, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. But we've got a lot of other places we're going to get off also. But I'm excited about this. I know this. You know, Jesus talked about in the last days. So I've got to ask you a question. Do y'all think we're living in the last days?
Yes.
I do too. And they also thought they were living in the last days 2,000 years ago. But we are. Hey, I'll tell you this. You're living in your last days. You're one day closer to being with him. Although I am waiting. I'll talk about in the next couple of weeks. I'll really talk about the rapture. But I look forward to the rapture. How many look forward to? If you're in Christ, you look forward to the rapture. And that's going to be a glorious day, and we'll dig on that later. But like, here's a little thought to start this off. Always being ready to meet Christ. But yeah, you remember when, and we still have a railroad systems, just not like we used to. But remember as a kid, or you'd go up to those railroad crossings, and you'd sit there, and you're like, Mama, how long is this train? Anybody ever say that? You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Oh no. And then I even knew a guy when I was in junior, maybe elementary school. He was in junior high. His dad got killed at a crossing because he decided he would not wait. And when a train is running 80 miles, 90 miles an hour, however fast, this wasn't Amtrak in those days, it'll kill you. And you would be a fool to cross a track if you had the rails down and you had the lights blinking, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you'd be a fool to miss this Christ, that you would miss this wonderful Savior that came to rescue us. And so Christ is coming. I talk about that all the time. Don't get caught by surprise, because he will come again, and Scripture is clear. Now, I've got some different sections of Scripture, and we're going to kind of move through this first one a little quick. But I'm going to be giving you a lot of resources over the next several weeks in this series. But I'm going to give you a name. It's Jack Hibbs. My wife really introduced me to this guy. He's a great California pastor that is one of the most prophetic teachers I've ever listened to, and he is rock solid. And another guy is a guy named Charlie Kirk. You ever heard of Charlie Kirk on the news? Ultra conservative, born again, loves Jesus, has amazing following. And there was this thing that I found, I thought was kind of interesting, and he started talking about in the days that we live, and we sometimes we think we live in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, things were a little wicked, do you think? Do you think we can understand that in 2023? Do you think we live in some perilous, wicked, evil days? We do.
Yes.
And there was a guy, and his name was Nimrod. You notice nobody ever names their... Now, somebody used to call you a nimwit,
Nimrod.
But Nimrod. And do you know who Nimrod was? I didn't think so. Oh, come back next week and I'll tell you. No, he was the great-great-grandson of Noah. And he was a strong, valiant warrior. And there's not a lot about him, but here in Genesis, you see him, but he's a forerunner. And some would say he was maybe even a forerunner to an Antichrist, because he ended up really being a kind of a wicked guy. But he's a guy there when you see in Genesis, and I want you to study this on your own, you see that they're building a tower. They're building the Tower of Babel. They're building it to the heavens. But there was a problem with that. You know what the problem was? They didn't consult God and ask God if that's what he wanted. How many of us do that sometimes? We just go ahead and we take off and we do it and go, God, bless this mess. Or God, bless it. You know, it's interesting. Mason, we were just talking about you and Rebecca. They're going to make their journey back to South Carolina at some point. And I said, you know, and he says, man, we're trying to make plans. And you know, at some time, I said, I know, you just keep seeking God. And he does. And he wants his face. And he wants God's will in his life. And God will lead. How many of you ever made plans before and God just went, no?
Yeah.
Or you thought this was God's will. You even stood up and declared it. This is God's will for my life. And you went this way. Because God took you down another path. Or maybe, have you ever tried to force God's will in your life? How's that working for you?
Yeah.
It doesn't usually work. So here in this story, just look here. There on the teaching guide, it says right here in this very first section, I love that it says Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior, okay? But move on down here to Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Gives you a lot of detail. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. So that we, look at this. I want you to underline this in your teaching guide. That we can make a name for ourselves. Have we changed very much since the days of Nimrod? We're still trying to take control. We're still trying to make a name for ourselves. And they try to make a name for themselves. So what does God do? And then they've got this one language so they could do whatever they felt like they could do. And then the Lord came down and he caused what? Confusion. And he gave them different languages. And we got all these different dialects. And everything just really scattered. And everything really changed. And so there's a premise, and I kept studying this, and this, oh God, so this guy, as I'm looking at him, I want to know, Lord, I don't want to make a, just right on the margin, I don't want to make a name for myself. I want to make much of the Lord thy God. I want to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make much of the famous one of Israel. And so you want to be self-aware, you want to be oriented toward God, because if we're not centered and oriented toward God, things usually turn out terrible and they go the wrong way. But listen to this. Here's a thought. I even put it right there and you can circle it. One city that he has an affection for. It was not this city. It's not the city of Pike Road or Slap Out or L.A. or wherever. You know what? God has affection for one city. Anybody know what it is? There's one city God has great affection for. Jerusalem. And not even as much as we think the Jerusalem there in the Middle East, as much as he loves Jerusalem and he tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know the one that God really has the greatest affection for? The new Jerusalem that will come down. How many look forward to the new Jerusalem one day? That's the hope of Christ's followers, that we will live in this new city forever and ever. Did you know God's going to burn all this up? And somebody's like, man, I wish you'd have burned it before they put a new carpet down. But anyway, but God is going to come and he's going to take care of this. This is after the millennium, after the whole reign. And the new Jerusalem is going to come to this world. And that is, you're going to say, where do you live? New Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if we're going to have addresses in New Jerusalem. And I hope we don't, because can you imagine the postal service in the New Jerusalem? Although this has all gone through the fall, it would probably work in that one. Okay, so here it is. So man, here's what I know. Man does not do well in a city unless God is the builder. Write that down. Man never does well in a city unless God is the builder. Who's building our city? Well, there's a city that God's making, and it's his city, and he builds. And when God builds, things turn out right. And I love these distinctions that Scripture gives us, but today we live, I talked to you last week a little bit about all these isms and socialism and this ism and whatever that's just trying to take over, and you know, it could be racism, and you could just name an ism or whatever it is, and it just ends up being some evil atrocity. And then you've got all these different movements, and we've seen in recent years the power of the LGBTQ, how it's tried to raise up, and economic forums, and sinister, and evil, and on and on. And at the end of the day, when I keep seeing all these things rising up, it shows me there's a gap between God and man, and Christ is the only person that meets the gap for you and me. And God wants us to come to him. And in Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation, God has always been looking for a people. God is pursuing a people. And God has come looking for you. And God is pursuing you. And God loves you. And God wants to rescue you. And the church says,
amen.
And so when I talk about Revelation, as I will through this series, and we'll go through Daniel and Ezekiel and all these different passages, some people, Pastor, don't talk about that. All that stuff scares me. Well, if you're not in Christ, you should be scared. But in Christ, he is sufficient. He is enough, and he will hold us. And I'm a pre-trib, and I've told you that. I believe, because of my study of Scripture and everybody I've studied over the years, I believe after Revelation 3, you never see the church mentioned, and the church is out of here, and I believe God raptures us, and the second coming comes later, and I'll do the prophetic chart probably for you next week, in the next couple weeks anyway. And all I'm saying is, but so, and you're saying, but Pastor, I want to be mid-trib. Oh, you go ahead and be mid-trib. That's fine. And say, no, Pastor, I want to live through all 7 years of hell and tribulation, and I want to be post-trib. Well, power to you, buddy. And you're saying, well, Pastor, you're wrong. I might be wrong. I don't think I am. I think I can prove it biblically with a lot of other scholars. But here's what I know. Christ is in me, and he's in you if you've trusted in Christ. And there's no reason to be afraid. Amen? Now, when you look at all this stuff and you read Revelation, you read through the events and you see all this, you go, Keith, like when Don and I did youth ministry, we'd be laying there late at night in rooms and kids would wake up like, gosh, I need to go to bed. And that's not because they ate 32 brownies and they didn't sleep and all that. They go,
You tell me again about that beast. They always want to talk about Revelation about 2 o'clock in the morning. I go, man, I'm going to be your beast. I'm going to come over and whip you if you don't go to bed. It's time to go to bed. But everybody wants to talk about the beast and all that. But here's what I know. Satan is on the prowl to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know who Satan always goes after first? The children. And in a couple weeks, we're going to observe Pro-Life Sunday here. And we'll take a few minutes and we'll pray and we'll recognize that. And has it changed from old when they sacrificed the young kids to today? Are we still not seeing kids sacrificed and killed and their lives aborted? And it is wrong and it is sinful. And I'm saying as clear as I know how, abortion is sin and it is wrong. And I got to tell you, I've met so many people over the years who have had abortions. And I do not condemn them. Christ does not condemn them when they repent and they confess Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is restoration. There is healing. That is the good news of the gospel. You're saying, well, Pastor, I've committed this sin. You put that under the blood, there's good news. Is there not, church?
Amen.
I mean, we don't want to. The Bible says, therefore, if we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. But you know who's always trying to condemn us? The evil one. Have anybody been condemned this week? Has the devil tried to condemn you about anything? What'd you tell him? Mind your own business. Go on. Get thee behind me. I rebuke you by the name and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Christ, come. You know what? Don't you go to the door. Send Jesus to the door. Hey, I don't need you doing this. Come against me. So Satan always goes. And then I wrote, the Bible talks about how we'll get away from sound doctrine. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 2. I want you to hear this. The Spirit, do I have it on here? I want to make sure. Yeah. I do. Here it is. It's not on here. Just write it down. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. See, clearly the Spirit of God speaks and says, there are seducing, wicked, evil spirits in the world that are for us. How many believe that?
Yep.
And they're out to take us out. And they're out to do a number on us. And these demonic entities. And the devil. How many of you believe that God has doctrine? That means teaching. When we say we know the doctrines of faith, we know the teachings of Christ. We study the Holy Scripture. And how many believe that the devil has doctrines? He does. And you know what? You know where I know? You know where he teaches his? He does teach it, I hate to say, through some pulpits, through some churches that have moved away, have departed, have distorted the truth, and they don't follow the Word of God. There's a lot of churches that do that. But he's even too clever to do that. You know where Satan really goes to propagate his truth?
Universities, colleges.
Universities and colleges. I remember 40-something years ago when I showed up at university, and I thought, man, and I wasn't even a Christian yet. Then I became a Christian in my freshman year, and I went, that sounds weird. And then our kids get to university. And then and you just think about how things have just continued to speed up and speed up, and how universities, and you see all the wickedness, and you see all the evil. Now, a lot of good things, I don't think you can really mess up math, I mean, you know, and some of the stuff, but a lot of other stuff, the psychology and philosophy, it's amazing what universities teach. And that is a great place that Satan uses as that for a platform to make his doctrines known. Is he not killing America? Is he not destroying the world? He's out for one purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. So as I look at that, I just think about the power of evil, literature, philosophy. He says, hey, I want to give you enlightenment. He goes after. But here it is. I want you to write down some things that we need to be careful to watch out for. We don't want to ever move away. Write it down. Don't move away from sound doctrine. Don't move away from Scripture. Always be running back to the source, back to the Word of the living Christ. And churches, I don't know why, a lot of great churches even have left solid Bible teaching. And they're leading people in error. Last Sunday morning, if you listened to the podcast, if you weren't here, at the very end, I just repented. Not that I led you in error that I knew of, but I just told you I've not preached prophetically enough. The end times, and I've got to do more of that in the end of my ministry. I mean, I want to come out and say, I need to confess. How many of you want to confess stuff when you mess up? Well, you don't want to. How many of you need to confess stuff when you mess up? Yeah. You know, what do you teach your kids?
Well, just hide it. Don't worry about it. It's no big. You don't tell your kids that. You say, come here. Let's bring it into light. So, all right, number two. So many have moved away from the church and the Word of God. And so there's the scripture talks about there's a famine in the land when it comes to hearing the Word of God. And I'll talk about that scripture in a minute. And then there's lawlessness that abounds in the last days. Have we not heard that word? It seems like that's a biblical word. We didn't used to hear about it a lot in the 70s and 80s and 90s and even 2000. And I feel like in the last 2 years, I hear the word lawlessness all the time. Has anybody noticed that but me? On the news, on secular news, they even talk about lawlessness. You know, the scripture talks about lawlessness, where there's no rule, where there's no reign, where there's not the authority of God. And when you don't have the authority of God, what do you have? Chaos, anarchy, pandemonium, craziness. Give me another one. Stupidity. Wickedness. Okay. So here it is. So we want to be careful and say, Lord, we want to identify ourselves as believers and we want to love your truth. But Satan is a great counterfeit. He is a mastermind. He's a master manipulator, and he's not removed until Christ's return over late Revelation 20. So a wrath-filled Satan, he causes immense and serious damage on the world scene. Would y'all agree with that, anybody but me? He's causing damage this morning. He's causing damages in homes and families and lives and universities and in schools or wherever he finds himself. 2 Timothy 4:3, I want you to go there with me real quick. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, that's sound teaching. Instead, they suit their own desires. They'll gather around the great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, how many like to be liked? I mean, don't we all, how many of you want to be liked? Just turn to the person next to you and say, I want to be liked. I want you to like me. I like you. Yeah, I mean, we all want to be liked. But you know, I decided a long time ago, I still had to tell you the truth. And sometimes I had to tell you scripture that you might get mad. I've had people go, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. What do you want me to do? Distort it? Do you want me to tell you a lie? No, Pastor, I just want you to make me tell me something that makes me feel good. I want you to just tickle my ears. Well, I've already read these scriptures, and I know I'm going to be judged for that. I can't just tell you stuff. I got to tell you the truth. That's right. Step on your toes. And if it's sin, then you see what happened. With some denominations, they quit adhering to the truth of the Word of God. And they let people tickle their ears. And now they just tell people what pleases them. And what happens is their doctrine changes according to what room they're in. It sounds like a politician to me, doesn't it? Do you hear? Go down here and tell them that. Now go down here. I want to get your vote too. I mean, sometimes, have you ever been around anybody and you've listened to them like, you know, you just said something totally different when we were down the street. Now you said this. Like, what are you, chameleon? I just change wherever I am. And God, hey, and let me say, I know all of us have some hypocrisy, do we not? I struggle with it just like you do. But I purpose in my heart that I want to be truthful. I want to be honest, and I know you do. So the scripture says they have seared consciences. So the college student, he goes off. See, here I read this. I like this. I don't like it, but it's true. The college student goes off to get to university, and he gets engaged in casual sex, and he wants to hear that promiscuity is just a practice, and God will understand because I've got needs. True or false? That's not right. The materialist just wants to hear a preacher tell him that his money is primarily for his pleasure. Really? And the homosexual wants a deity that will baptize and sanctify sin. Is that not true? That's what people want. They want legitimacy. They want you to agree. As a pastor, so many times people, they just want me to agree with them, because as an earthly representative of the kingdom of God, if I agree with them or make them feel good about it, then they feel like that's what I wanted to hear. I've had so many conversations with people like, sometimes they go, you didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. I said, no, I didn't. They said, but you told me the truth. And I went, oh, last time I heard, truth was a good thing. How many believe truth's a good thing? How many believe truth's the ultimate thing? How many believe we're not getting the truth? You ever heard of fake news? I mean, let me just say this. I almost got political. I don't want to get political. But I'll say this. When somebody says they're an expert today, it used to be,
An expert was somebody that had a briefcase. Y'all remember when we had briefcases? I had a big attaché case, really nice. I got bags now, but I had a briefcase. And they said, if you traveled over 100 miles, received a fee, you were an expert. And I used to travel a lot and speak, and I used to train youth pastors and speak around the country in the world. And I even started believing some of that junk. And I pick up my briefcase and I travel. So that must mean I'm an expert. I study the subject. I want to know a lot. But today we go up to 2023 and just turn on the news. Don't yell their name out. I know you want to, but hold it in. And when you see the news and you look at them, how many of you go, liar, wrong, erroneous, not telling the truth, fake, changing the channel now? Or you just go, no, just give it to me because you're an expert. Guys, we get sold a bill of goods all the time if we don't know the scripture. In the end times, that'll pick up. That'll get rapid. Hey, am I telling truth today?
Amen.
I mean, you're like, Pastor, this is not feel good. I'm not walking out here feeling all happy. I want you to love truth. I want you to love the God of the truth, the Lord Jesus. So here it is. So the sinner, you know, basically we've got two options here. We can submit to the authority of God's word and confess our sin, repent, and follow him. And that's a great one. Or we can change the message to fit our lifestyle and find somebody that agrees with me. And what I find sometimes is people go change churches because that church was too convicting. And if I go over here, they make me feel good about my sin. And what I'll say is this. I don't want anybody to ever feel good about their sin. Jesus shed his blood for our sin.
Right.
And those that practice sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. God's clear in the scripture. You're like, whoa, Pastor, that was sober. That's the teaching from God's word. We want to follow truth. We want to be men and women, boys and girls of truth. We don't want to just hear something that's pleasant all the time. So one of my jobs is to watch and to warn the congregation, the people that God's put in my influence, and that I can tell them the truth. Here, I'll give you a great verse, Matthew 7:15. Write it down real quick. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. Do you think any of those are rampant today? They are. And let me just say this. I love Christian television. How many of you like Christian television? You ever watch Christian television? A lot of good stuff. There's some ferocious wolves in there too, though. And there's some churches, there's some teachings, there's some studies that have wolves. And they appear and they might say some things right, but you got to discern. You got to ask the Holy Spirit. You got to test it against Scripture. I always want you to test what I tell you against Scripture, and the church said. Because that'll be the plumb line. That'll lead you right, won't it, Lenore? That's what we want. We want God's truth. So, Lord, help us not to follow the false prophets. But some pastors, they suddenly get marked. They get corroded. They believe little things, and they drift off just a little error. Just a little error, dude. And before you know it, then they've believed another error, and they're way over there. And now they believe that. I mean, I could start naming names today. And I don't think I will, at least not right now. And it's sad. Some of them have departed from the truth, the sound doctrine of Scripture. I think a lot of it's pride because they think they've gotten so smart. But they've just they've been confused. They've distorted. I don't know what they're believing, but they've gotten delusional. Okay, and so pastors need to speak with truth. Oh, that scripture came up. Man, that looks good up there. Okay, so watch out. Didn't that verse just really give you, I mean, it gives you hope because you're like, God, I want to be warned. I want to be on the watch out. Now, I don't want you to stand up in the middle of the meeting and go, hey, you're a wolf. You might want to walk up to him afterwards and go, you know, I'm not sure that last statement or that last 15 minutes you just spoke, could we talk about that? I'm concerned. I think maybe you've missed the mark of Scripture. I was looking at Timothy this morning. I looked at Deuteronomy. I looked at Ephesians 6, and God was saying this. And take them in a kind way. Isn't that the way we should be, is kind and gentle, as Christians, as Christ followers? I don't want you to get a megaphone, get on the street going, you bunch of, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, that's just craziness. Here it is. There's a profession that delivers bad news every day. And it would be the
profession of medicine is called an oncologist. An oncologist, when they discover cancer, they don't go, you know, it doesn't look good, but it could be good, and maybe I could just give you some cream, and why don't you just go on home and die? Huh? That'd be malpractice, would it not? And you want an oncologist to do what? To tell you the truth. You've got cancer. I remember when I had surgery last February, I walked in his room that day. I never will forget these words. I love Dr. Berlin. But he looked at me. He was sitting on the side of the bed. He goes, Keith, I got good news. And as soon as he said good news, man, I lit up. I thought, hallelujah. Why am I here? He said, I got good news. He says, you got to have surgery. And you're going to be in the hospital for several days. And I stopped. I said, you said you had good news. He said, I do. He says, but I can do something about it. He said, I just did a case just like yours this morning. I feel really good. I believe we can get it all. I'm glad you came in when you did. This is good. And you know, and I said, now, you, wait a minute, let's back up. You said I'm going to have surgery. I said, am I just going to go in overnight? And I'll be right home. And he said, oh, no, buddy. You're going to get to stay there and enjoy the suite. You know, but I'm glad he told me the truth. I'm glad he got it out of me. How many of you felt that way? A lot of people in our church have had cancer. How many of you were glad when they got the cancer, they got it out of you, and you got a new lease? You got a new start. How many of you would have preferred an oncologist that would have just said, yeah, I don't want him to feel bad. I don't want him to have a bad day. No, you fire that doctor. Okay. So when the scripture starts listing out sin, We want to call it sin, because scripture does, whether it's abortion, homosexuality, whatever it is, Jesus is going to say, call it out. Matthew 24:4. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Jesus has a lot of this about don't distort, don't deceive. And in the end times, he's always talking about don't let them deceive you. So it puts you and I on warning, don't be deceived. John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, I love, that's a mark, that's a distinctive of a Christ follower, is the lover of Christ and the lover of others. We want to love people. We want to be filled with agape. But we also want to be filled with another side of the coin. It's called truth. We want love and we want truth. How many want both sides of the coin? I want both sides of the coin, because that's what pleases Jesus. So let me tell you how love and truth go hand in hand. John 8:31-32. To the Jews, I think this is going to come up on the scripture. There it is. Dispute over whose children are upon. Let's see. Okay, that's it. Okay. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. And then you will know the what?
Truth.
The truth. And the truth will do something. It will what? It will release you. It will set you free. So, as pastor, I'm called to make sure I proclaim truth to you, because when you receive the truth of God's love and the truth of God's word, you have an opportunity to walk in freedom and not in what? In defeat. You can walk in victory. How many of you want to be victorious followers? All of us. Like, man, I want to walk in the victory of Christ. Well, I want to love his truth. I want to embrace truth. I want to be hand in glove. Listen to John 14:6. It just says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But Jesus is the truth. We have to follow him. 1 Corinthians 13:6. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. God, you're a truth God. You're a truth-telling God. I want to love you, Father. I want to follow you. And I want to tell the truth to my friends, because I want them to have the truth of Christ and what you've said in your word clearly, that we might know how to live and have a relationship with you. And so I know I'm declaring this, and some of this is kind of heavy, but let me just give you a verse of really hope here. I want to give you one you probably haven't read in a long time. It's in the book of Jude. Write down Jude 1:24-25. And I want you to hear these words. I think these words are going to give somebody hope today. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be the glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. You know what that verse tells me? I want you to write it down. God can protect me. God will protect me. He does protect his children. Do you believe that God protects his kids?
Amen.
I do. Now, it seems like sometimes, like, God, where are you? Lord, man, it's getting tough. But he gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you his word. He gives you comfort. He gives you the body of Christ. You know, a lot of times I talk to people, they're like, man, I can't wait to assemble with believers because that's where I find strength, and that's where I find encouragement, and that's where I find prayer, and that's where I find hope, and that's where I find new songs and music and worship, and that's where I have relationship. And a lot of times we find that our church family is closer to us than our real family. How many have found that to be? So many of your family that you're closer to your church than you are them. I know you got your, especially when you start drifting on out to uncles and aunts and cousins and all that. But I mean, you just find that your church, that's a place that you're loved and you're accepted in the beloved and you're accepted in the truth of Christ. And so there's no place for condemnation and judgmental there. All right, let's flip it over. Oh my goodness, I got so much to cover here. Oh, this is good. All right, here we go. On the back, it says 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. Look here at this great scripture. Now, brethren, considering the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Right above gathering together, I want you to write down a word. What would you think that word would be? It's not rhetorical. I was asking a question. Rapture. That's right. I want you to write right above that gathering with him is the rapture. See, Christ will come again. Here, he will appear again, and he will appear in the rapture, and we will gather with him. Those that are dead will do what? Will rise up. How many look forward to rising up? Yeah, and we're caught up with him. So we gather. Right there, he gives evidences of the rapture in Thessalonians. Of course, if you look at 1 Thessalonians 4, you talk all about the rapture. We'll do that another day. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter as it is from us, though the day of Christ had come. Look at verse 3. Here he is. Talk about these words. I've been talking about the word deceive. Let no one deceive you. Circle the word deceive. Don't let somebody deceive you. In this day people will. By any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of, there's this word, lawlessness is already at work. Would y'all agree with that? Yes. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Let me just tell you this real quick because I don't want to miss it. He is taken out of the way. Here it is. I believe the church, God removes the church. I believe he raptures the church. He raptures the body of Christ. When God removes the church, evil will do what? It will pick up. And he also says, he is taken out of the way. Who do you think he is? The blessed Holy Spirit. When God takes the Holy Spirit, oh my God. How many of you want God to take the Holy Spirit? How many are glad that we live in this age, this dispensation of grace, that the Holy Spirit dwells in us fully and we can be filled and controlled daily with the Holy Spirit and he doesn't come on us and then he leaves and then maybe he'll show up 10 years from now? How many are glad the Holy Spirit's there every single day? That's the age and the grace that we live in. And the Holy Spirit, how many sins has the Holy Spirit kept you from? A lot. Think about if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, how much more you would sin. You're like, I don't even think you would like me. I don't think I'd like you either. I don't think I'd like me. I don't think we'd like anybody. I mean, the Holy Spirit does a great word. Right? And look at verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all the power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all their unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. There's something about the love of the truth, the love of the word, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do y'all think we live in a day where there's a lot of people that pleasure in unrighteousness? Absolutely. So all through this section, really, he's talking about the Antichrist. And when he talks about the Antichrist here, you can look at heavy at Daniel, you can look at Revelation, you can look at here at Thessalonians. But basically, when the Antichrist is unleashed, there tends to be a momentary period of peace. There will be one that will broker peace. He will come out of, we believe, the European nations, out of that group. And And you remember several years ago when President Clinton was in office and there was almost a temporary brokering of peace in the Middle East and people are, oh man, is this it? And then it fell all apart. Well, in this time, there will be some momentary, some temporary peace in the Middle East. And this guy will look like he is the one to be worshipped and people will worship him. Now, I want to back up. I don't believe we're here. If you want to be here, that's fine. You can be here. Although you don't have a choice. I mean, I believe God's going to rapture us as followers in Christ. But in that period, it is going to be rough. It's going to be unbelievable. And in that section, with this ruling, with this power, it's going to be difficult. And the scripture teaches that some will be saved, but it's going to be very hard. And the Antichrist will have great power. And he's going to appear for a while that he's really good and noble and all these things. He'll be broken in peace. And then he's going to turn. And then he's going to start having people killed that don't bow to him and worship him. And he wants to be worshiped in the Holy of Holies. And he is going to be in war against God. And the great news of the scripture is he is defeated finally. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And our God reigns and rules. And he always has and he always will. And we win in him. So here you see these things that you see this. And of course, I didn't talk about the second coming. I'll talk about Armageddon weeks to come. I mean, that's a fascinating study, the Battle of Armageddon and Megiddo and the Great Plain. And I know some of you are going, Pastor, man, when are we going to do that? That's like a movie. No, this is not a movie. This is not something Sony produced. This is a reality of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
And you're like, Pastor, I love this stuff. So, but here's what God tells us. Don't be deceived by this world, by the teachings of the... And I don't believe the Antichrist is here. I don't think you do either. But I think the spirit of Antichrist has been released in this world for some time. How many believe the spirit of Antichrist is here? And don't start naming names. Let's don't do that today. Okay. So the Antichrist. And so what does it mean? It means against Christ, instead of Christ. It's just, you know, as we look at this end time, I know that we want to get close to Christ. Matthew 24:10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. They will turn away. In the Greek, the word scandaleo, they will be scandalizing. Many will abandon the faith. Some will have made professions of faith, but they will quickly renounce the faith. So they really weren't true believers. They'll turn away. They'll go into rebellion. This son of perdition, this man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, he'll be in power and he rules. And listen to this. It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. So he's called the man of destruction. He's called the foolish and worthless shepherd. Write down Zechariah 11:15. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm be completely withered, his right eye totally blinded. I mean, this is going to be rough. And then I hadn't even got into all this today, but I could. Daniel chapter 7 and the confederation of the nations and the 10 horns. And maybe we can come back and talk about that. But God, here's what Antichrist does. He opposes God and he demands worship. And there's only one that demands or desires or is worthy of worship. And his name is Jesus. Let's make sure we're worshiping the Lamb of glory. So, I you know, like, Pastor, and guys, I could go on for another hour or something. Like, please don't, man. I got to kind of get in my mind what you've already talked about today. But this is powerful truth today as we look in the days that we live, end times. And so I'll try to break it down. I'll try to print it all out for you next week, just a kind of a calendar of end time events. And I guess you could hold it up to Jesus. Like, Jesus, I think our pastor got it right, or maybe we missed an event or two. But at the end of the day, I just want you studying. I want you hungering for truth. And the church said. And I want you to say, I always want to know truth. I want to be known as a truth person. Because that brings honor to Jesus. Look at this right here. This is a great one. Love does not delight in evil, but in what? It rejoices for the truth. As Christ follows, let's rejoice for the truth of the living Christ. The one that will hold us secure. The one that holds us in his hands, the whole world in his hands, the one that will come again, the one that will align all things. Let's align our hearts with him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning that we could come into your house and sing and pray and worship. And Lord, just push us, stretch us, grow us. Lord, let us see the splendor of your name and how wonderful and mighty you are. Lord God, you are faithful for all the ages. And Lord, thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to lead us in truth. And you will lead us and you will guide us in all manner of truth if we seek your face and seek your ways and hunger for your word. Lord, help us to not be deceived. Help us to not be scared. Help us to not be afraid or worried, but help our trust to be securely in Christ. Lord Jesus, we love you and we need you. And Lord, give us a new hunger for the word, for revelation, for truth, in Jesus' name. Amen.